everybody, I'm Joe. I have 25 years of dog training experience, and I am excited to share my knowledge and talk dogs. Let's get going.
Hey everybody, this is Rebecca with Dog Training 360, and I'm super psyched to talk every week with Joe, have great conversations, and talk everything dogs.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Dog Talk. And today we are going to be talking on the topic of rescue dogs and what does that mean, and maybe our opinions a little bit about a workaround or just from personal experiences. So, Rebecca, you've had an experience just recently that's on the forefront that kind of triggered this whole conversation about rescue dogs. So let's kind of get into that story and talk a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges maybe that you had and just kind of the journey that you went through with these two dogs. And I'll just turn it over to you from here.
Great. It's a great, great story with a happy ending and so fun to talk about. Yeah. So here I am living in Costa Rica, but this story I could see happening anywhere, mm-hmm. or many, many places anyway, many places in the U.S. So I was minding my own business, actually working on Dog Training 360 stuff in my little office. And it was about 5 p.m., 4:30, and I stepped out of the office, which exits out onto my carport, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. So I stepped into my carport and my two dogs were in their crates for a nap. So they were just comfortably sleeping and hadn't alerted me to anything out of the ordinary. And when I stepped into my carport, there were these two dogs that I have never seen before. And they were just curled up in a little ball, nestled together, asleep on my carport. And both of them were quite skinny. To just paint the picture, one, it was like a little chocolate colored, small, maybe medium sized dog, looked kind of like a labby mix sort of dog. And the other one, larger dog, Dalmatian-y looking. And the Dalmatian-y looking dog, the black and white spotted one, was emaciated, skin and bones. You could see his hips, mm-hmm. you could see every rib. He looked horrible. He had cuts all over him, he had sores on his legs. And the chocolate brown one was slightly less skinny. He wasn't emaciated, but he was definitely skinny. You could see his hips, you could see his ribs, and he didn't have sores or cuts, but he had ticks, like visible, both dogs had visible ticks and fleas on them. But the little chocolate one had a collar on, with no tag, and the Dalmatian like one did not have a collar on, but both of them instantly, as soon as I walked out, they wagged their tails. The little chocolate one got up and came over to me and just looked happy to see me, very social dogs. And so I was horrified with their appearance and immediately took pictures of them and, got them some water and got them some of my dog's kibble because obviously they were starving. Mm-hmm. And then I started trying to find their owners because clearly to me, they belong to somebody. You know, they've got the collar, they're so social, they're very friendly, they allowed pets, like no skittishness at all. And so I posted to my little street neighborhood, which is like 10 houses, nobody had. People on my street had seen them over the past 24 hours. And there's more to that story in a second, mm-hmm. but people kind of responded, yeah, they've been around for 24 hours. And then people in my larger neighborhood, which is several hundred houses up on a mountain, reported back to me that they'd been hanging around the mountain for like the last month and people had been trying to get them to get off their property. Like multiple people were like, yeah, they've been on my property, I kicked them off. That kind of report. Yeah, nobody stepped up to say they owned the dogs and nobody stepped up to say anything like we tried to help them. It was more like, yeah, we tried to shoo them away, but they kept coming back, but we finally got rid of them. That kind of thing. And then the other way of sort of broadly communicating things here in Costa Rica is Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so there are multiple area Facebook groups, and I posted to two of them. One of them is the general bulletin board group, and one of them is a specific pets lost and found group. And I posted both of them with pictures of the dogs and just a quick little summary saying, like, these two just showed up in my carport. Are you their owner? Please contact me if you are their owner. I said, private message me if these are your dogs. And I didn't say anything else. I didn't ask for opinions or ask for help. You know, I didn't say, should I feed them or should I do anything?
Yeah.
And so within, you know, minutes, mm-hmm. really, but I wasn't checking Facebook constantly, but certainly within a half an hour, I got many, 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 many responses to my post. Nobody claiming the dogs, but everyone basically telling me to feed these dogs, telling me to save these dogs. And then essentially the way I took it and the way the comments were phrased was shaming my entire neighborhood for letting these dogs starve before our eyes. You know, somebody said, it is just disgusting that this can happen in the neighborhood that you live in. You know, all these people and nobody saves these dogs, which was completely, number one, not what I was expecting. Yeah. And number two, not what I was asking for. I mean, obviously I wasn't asking to be shamed, but I didn't say in my post, like, who can help me or what should I do? Right. Or does anyone have the number for the shelter? I just simply said, are these your dogs?
Yeah.
And so it was just an interesting experience with social media, which I have very mixed feelings about to begin with, but just like, oh my gosh, like, hang on a minute, people, like, ask before you judge was my thought. Like, you don't even know. I haven't said I'm not feeding them. Of course I'm going to feed starving dogs that are in my yard. And of course, if I'm taking the time to post this message, of course I'm helping them. Like, that's how I felt. Like, oh my gosh, why are you yelling at me? So then, as it turns out, my neighborhood, my little street, the 10 houses that I mentioned first, all got on the bandwagon of weighing in on the good bandwagon, I want to say, of helping me with these dogs. So it sort of came to pass over the messaging of these dogs have been seen in for the last 24 hours that one of my neighbors at the end of my dead end road had actually witnessed the two dogs being dumped out of a car, that a car had driven onto his property, my neighbor's property, and then driven off real fast. And my neighbor didn't see the dogs actually leave his car, but when the car left, the two dogs were right where the car was. And so he was like, oh my goodness, did that car just dump these dogs in my yard? And then another neighbor who saw my post of the pictures had actually corresponded with a neighbor in the broader neighborhood about the two dogs who had been living on her friend's property. And so my neighbor, who had been corresponding about the dogs, immediately texted her friend and said, these dogs are now in our neighborhood. How did that happen? And as it turns out, that family had dumped the dogs on our street. And why that happened was apparently because that family thought that our street had dog lovers on it and people who would help the dogs and construction crews, because there's a fair amount of construction happening. And so the rationale on their end was like, maybe the construction crews would like pick up these dogs. And so we had like from two separate neighbors, both a visual witnessing of the dogs suddenly appearing when a car left, and then a message of, you know, that they had indeed dropped these dogs off in our neighborhood. So with that, our my 10 neighbors and our family just banded together and committed to helping these dogs in whatever way we could. And honestly, none of us are in a position to take on more dogs. Everybody on the street has dogs. And for various reasons, none of us could actually like just say, I'm going to adopt these dogs. Mm-hmm. And so we made up a rotating household plan where the dogs could go to one house for a few nights and then another house for a few nights if needed until we found a permanent place for them. Your question, I'm sure listeners on your mind is like, why didn't you call the shelter or just take them to the shelter?
Yeah.
We did call the shelter, and part of a big, big problem here in Costa Rica, or in my region of Costa Rica anyway, is that the shelter is completely overwhelmed and they have zero capacity to take on new dogs. And so they depend on just Good Samaritans helping yeah. strays.
Yeah.
And so we did call them just to confirm, and they were like, no, 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 we can't take more dogs. We need fosters. We're willing to help with their expenses, but we cannot take them into our care.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shelter said they were willing to help neuter these two intact males with a 50% discount with the vet for neutering, but mm-hmm. Could not do anything to help us, including like try to find them homes. They were like, all we can recommend is that you post on social media to find homes for these guys.
Wow.
And so our neighborhood was just like, oh my goodness, well, we can't keep them, but we also just can't do what the other people did. We can't just like
keep scooting them around. Yeah.
Obviously starving. Like the Dalmatian dog was, oh, I thought he was going to die that day, actually. And mm-hmm. Joe, you remember I sent you videos of him, and he could barely walk. He could barely stand up. He was very, very sick. And so, anyway, we got him a shelter under somebody's garage, basically, mm-hmm. and got him food. We all contributed, you know, some of our kibble, our own dog's kibble for their food. And we made sure they had little blankets to sleep on. And then we started the process of trying to, you know, set up their neuter appointment and figure out where they could be more long-term in terms of a mm-hmm. foster situation. While I was still hopeful that something on the Facebook end of things would turn up an owner.
Yeah.
And so we spent 3 days like this, and every time and my wife Anna and I would visit the dogs every day a couple times, and the neighbor who was sheltering them would take them for walks up and down our mountain on leashes.
Mm.
And all of that just confirmed to me that these dogs had owners.
Yeah.
These dogs were so people oriented. They walked perfectly on leashes. They knew what leashes were, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They weren't just feral dogs out there.
Feral dogs, right? And so the Dalmatian one, over the time of getting hydrated with water and getting a little bit of food, got stronger and was able to take little short walks. And the little chocolate brown one was clearly a puppy, and he was just happy to do anything. He was always excited and pretty energetic, but mm-hmm. also, you know, got even more so with his nourishment.
Yeah.
And so then I ended up actually pretty quickly in the Facebook world turning off comments to my post, because it made me so angry that people would judge me. And so I turned off comments, but I still kind of kept checking Facebook to see if somebody, because they could still direct message
mm-hmm.
me, even though I had turned off comments. And as it turns out, 3 days, like on the third day of us rescuing these dogs, their owner messaged me and was like, oh my gosh, you have my dogs. I have been looking for them. And as it turns out, she's a Costa Rican woman, young. She's in her early to mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a 4-year-old daughter. She lives at the bottom of our mountain, probably 2 kilometers from our house, but a steep, steep, steep mountain that's hard to navigate with any, you know, certainly on foot, but even in a car, it's hard to get up here from where she lives. But for the dogs, you know, it's within roaming distance for them in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And where they ended up, the place that they got dumped from was even further up the mountain. It was up at the top of the mountain. So, you know, in my mind, they probably, it seemed rational that they left their home on some sort of chase and adventure mm-hmm. and then got disoriented and ended up at the top of the mountain and didn't really know where they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she and her mother both said to me over and over and over again, like, we've been looking for these dogs for a month. Mm. They've been gone from our house for a month.
Wow.
And we're so worried about them. And we've been asking all our neighbors, but nobody had seen them. And as it turns out, her neighbors are people who live just right at the bottom of the mountain. Mm. So they wouldn't have been up where the dogs ended up. But she didn't know where to go from there in terms of finding their homes or, you know, finding them, sorry. Yeah.
They've been on a journey. And I mean, you know, just describing Costa Rica, there's jungle, there's all kinds of things, and also very easy to get disoriented if you're in the jungle. And being able to navigate and find their way home versus just finding people. And, you know, I think that's one thing that's just so amazing about our dogs is just how they navigate into survival. And found the right person somehow to get them help. You know, my buddy's sick. We got to stick together. This is how we've survived. And people seem to be good. So we need to find people. If there was abuse or neglect or something like that, you know, a lot of times dogs will keep the distance and not seek that out. They'll just try to scavenge, you know. So it's pretty incredible. Their journey, but you know, looking through a jungle for a month trying to find two small critters, if you will, in the big scheme of things would be you know, difficult to do. And so Rebecca, you connected with her. And what was that experience like?
It was honestly one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had, because she was over the moon excited to have her dogs back. Mm-hmm. She was so happy. She was so grateful that I had, you know, figured out how to find her, and that she had figured out how to find me, that we had connected with one another is what I mean. And that we were willing to help her dogs. Mm-hmm. And it was clear in when we took them home, we ended up not being able to take them home. She contacted me in the morning and we couldn't take them home until that evening, in part because I had something in the morning that I had to do. And then she went to work for the rest of the day and got back after dark. And so we took them home in the dark. I was going to try to video some of her reunion, but it was completely dark and the power actually was out in our neighborhood at the time. So there were no even lights
little
around.
Bit of light.
So it was a dark little reunion, but the dogs were so happy to be home. Mm. They obviously loved their mom and their grandmother who came out, like both came out and were just like loving on them and so happy. And the dogs were so happy to be home. It was clear. It was obvious. Like they came home.
Yeah.
And then we're still in touch. I mean, the nice mm-hmm. thing is the dogs actually had a vet appointment the next morning, and my wife and I were going to take them to the vet and get them a pre-neuter, pre-surgical checkup. And presumably the older Dalmatian dog that was so sick wasn't going to be healthy enough to be neutered, but we didn't know if he was truly on his last legs or if he had some sort of, you know, what was going on? Was he just starving, or was there a parasite, or was there something else, some illness that he was suffering?
Mm-hmm.
And so that appointment was for that. And so when we told her, like, we have a vet appointment for them tomorrow, do you want to have them seen? And she immediately said, oh my gosh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they need to be seen. They've been in the jungle for a month. And look at Marshall. He's the Dalmatian's name is Marshall. Look at Marshall. He's dying. Like, she recognized it. You know,
it's
funny to me how, of course, anyone would recognize it. But the judgment that I felt on Facebook that mm-hmm. people had to comment on, like, that we wouldn't recognize the suffering in these animals, and that anyone who saw them recognized they were suffering.
Yeah.
And so she immediately said, he's dying. Of course he needs to go to the vet. Mm. Yes. When is the appointment? And we said, you know, we'll help you pay if that's a problem. You know, we're here, we'll give him a ride, whatever you need. And she said, oh, wonderful. Yes. I'd love a ride because I don't have a car.
Mm.
And so we showed up the next morning and the whole family came, like the family.
Yeah.
So cute. I had the car prepped actually just to take the dogs because I didn't know if she was going to like let us carpool the dogs. But no, she and her mom, actually the little 4-year-old girl, was at school. So the dogs got in the back of the pickup truck, in the back seat of the pickup truck, not in the bed of the truck. The dogs got in the back seat, and I didn't realize everyone was going to pile in, but then the owner piled in and the grandma piled in. And so all four of them are sitting in the back seat.
Yeah.
And Ann and I are in the front seat, and we all pile over to the vet and get to the vet, and we let them go in by themselves. I asked if she needed me, and she was like, no, which of course they're her dogs. Why would she need me?
Yeah.
But you know, I just wanted to make sure if she needed any support or anything. And so they were in there for a good hour.
Mm.
And as it turns out, Marshall, the older Dalmatian, was so sick he couldn't even be home. He had to be hospitalized, and he had some kidney failure from dehydration.
Uh-huh.
And so the little one who's, you know, I called him chocolate colored, but his name actually is Chocolate. And so little Chocolate, who ends up as a 7-month-old puppy, was discharged in good health.
Yeah.
You know, he needed a little more food, but he was fine and he came home. But Marshall had to stay. And I pulled out my wallet at the end because I told her we'd help her pay for it. And she immediately said, no. I got this. These are my dogs. This is my responsibility. And so she paid for the whole vet bill, and which was great. You know, it just was the right thing for her to do. But I also found, like, again, sort of the judgment from people that, like, you know, this, you're not taking care of your dogs.
Yeah.
When the reality is she very much takes care of her dogs. And even when offered help from somebody who is, I was willing to pay for the whole appointment.
Right,
you know, I said,
right.
I'll pay for your whole appointment. And I think a lot of people would have just taken me up on that. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, she's got a 4-year-old little girl, and why not? Why not let this lady that's, you know, clearly got the money to pay for my appointment pay? But she didn't. And then when Marshall was ready to come home from the hospital, he stayed 2 days. And so we asked, like, do you need us to, you know, more carpooling? Can we go pick him up? Oh, my husband won't go get him. And we were like, do you need financial help? No.
Mm.
This is our dog. We've got this. And so, again, like, she refused with Marshall.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow is their neuter appointment. And so Marshall, as it turns out, is, as you can imagine, too sick to undergo anesthesia and have surgery. But even though he is getting better, but he's not well enough to have
at this
surgery.
Point.
But Chocolate is going to go in. And so we have been communicating all day to set the plan. And as it turns out, well, Ann and I will pick Chocolate up and bring him. His owner is actually pregnant again with her second baby. And so she has a lot of morning sickness. And so she's feeling terrible right now, actually. But she's been like 100% like communicative and appreciative, and says her husband can take him if we can't, but her husband has to work. And so it would be like super much greater if we could take him. And we were planning to anyway, so why not?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And so and then the shelter did uphold their commitment to helping with to subsidizing the neuter fee. And so they'll get a 50% discount, which again, I offered again yesterday, like, we can help you with paying for the neuter. And she said, no, I can pay that money. And so again, it's just, I feel like it's, you need to, I think one of my takeaways amongst many is it reinforced for me the ask before judgment, you know, ask if you see dogs who seem to be suffering, you know, before making a judgment about their owner or about what's going on, ask questions and see what else is happening.
Right.
And actually, their owner told a story of the puppy, Chocolate. She actually Yeah, this is a whole nother part to the story. She actually has rescued both of these dogs herself. So they were both stray dogs to begin with, and she has rescued them both. And so Marshall, the older one, she rescued off the street. He was totally homeless.
Yeah.
And she found him and rescued him, and he's been with her for 3 years. And the puppy, she rescued out of a man's home who lives on the beach and just can't stand to have stray dogs. And so he kind of collects some any dog that doesn't have a home. And so Chocolate had been with him since he was a newborn puppy.
Wow.
And he kept him for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then his current owner, the woman I'm talking about, met him when he was a three-month-old puppy and asked if she could have him. And she had to ask twice because the guy was pretty attached to him. But then on the second request, he let her have him. And so she basically rescued him out of another kind of foster-like situation. And she said that she had intended to get both of them neutered and really believed in neutering. But didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. And so that partly why I kept saying, well, let me help you.
Yeah.
There was any barrier financially. It's not very expensive here to have dogs neutered.
Yeah.
And so, especially if there was a 50% discount, it would have been $20 for me to pay for their neuter. So I was happy to do that. But, she was like, nope, I got it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just feel like the comments on Facebook, even after she had claimed them, were so negative to her and how she had deserted her dogs and how they weren't neutered. And it made me angry.
And I think that triggered, a lot. Rebecca, I had a conversation this weekend about, a gentleman. He says, we rescued this dog and I'm certain, the person that he used to belong to should be beat and got, sent to hell because he's been abused. And I said, oh, did you know the person, that had him before? And he's like, no, but he certainly has been abused and he's, cowardly. And I said, well, here's the thing. Some dogs are just that personality, just like people are. And some dogs have learned not to trust humans just simply because they've learned to survive on their own. And most people, 99.999% of people, really don't intentionally abuse a dog like that to that point. And it would take a lot to get a dog to that point. The story with Chocolate and Marshall and people just assuming, that because the dog isn't in a home, or the way the dog responds, that, the human beings are just terrible, and that they don't. And sometimes life circumstances, it happens, and financially you can't afford them. And so they don't get picked up from the shelter, or, they don't, the dogs are, the spay and neuters, not a thing there in Costa Rica as prevalent as it's on the forefront of, in other places. And so, it makes me sad for, to hear that we're just so judgmental on people when sometimes it's a little ignorant. Sometimes it's just a knowledge and education.
Yep.
Of hey, this is available, or can we help keep your dog in the home by, I can help you neuter him, I can help pay for a trainer for you, I can help, and then instead we want to judge those people. And it makes me sad because those dogs are just as happy in those homes as they would be in a home with somebody that makes millions. They have no, dogs don't have that judgment of, how fancy their house is, what car they get to ride in to go to the grocery store kind of a thing. And so, instead of, judging, we should be helping and supporting, those dogs staying in their homes and making sure that they get back to their homes. And, when I worked at the shelter, there were many times that people came in to claim their dog, but they couldn't afford the bail to get them out. And so they got left.
Oh my goodness. Right. Yes, and that brings up exactly what we were talking about with this story, what you and I together were talking about after the story, what was fascinating to me that's related to what you're just saying is when these dogs were on my property and thought to be strays or abandoned dogs, I had people coming out of the woodwork from both my street, which remains committed to them, but from all over the region, wanting to give me cash. Like, people were like, please tell me how I can give you money to take care of these dogs. Literally, so many people direct messaged me on Facebook or messaged me on WhatsApp, which is like text messaging, or to say like, how can I donate to these dogs' care? And then literally the instant their owner claimed them on Facebook, people rescinded their money. Literally, they said on Facebook publicly, they said, I made a donation to these dogs. You are their owner. You deserve, you know, terrible things to happen to you.
Yeah.
I am going to redirect my donation to the shelter. Which is fine. The shelter should get a lot of donations for sure. Yeah. Like, if you have money to give, give it to the shelter for sure.
Yeah.
But the thing that was fascinating to me and that you and I talked about, Joe, is if we're as a community committed to these dogs, so much so that we're willing to give a random stranger, me, cash to take care of them, when presumably, based on the neighborhood I live in and, you know, whatever other criteria you want to make, I can afford these dogs. Like, I can buy them dog food. But people gave me $100 bills, cash up front to pay for these dogs. But then the instant they had an owner who was not me, people took that money back and publicly on Facebook said, I'd redirect my donation. And I just thought, that's so strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we, if we want these dogs, these two dogs to be healthy and happy and served and neutered and taken care of, why don't we say, wonderful, their owner has been found. How can we support their owner? Because obviously, yes, they got lost in the jungle, but maybe there's something, like, they're not neutered. Maybe there's something, maybe she needs help with payment, which initially she did. And now she's telling me she can, you know, she can afford the 50% discount payment, which is a big deal. 50% is a lot off for the dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it was going to cost her $100 and now it's going to cost her 50 for two dogs, that's a big difference. So, anyway, I just thought that piece of it was fascinating. And that's kind of similar to your experience working at the shelter, where why don't we just help those people who love their dogs get them out? Like, give them money to get them out, and then they can go home to the person who loves them. Yeah. And if a person needs, you know, help, we're feeding them anyway with food at the shelter.
Yeah.
So why not redirect that money to those dogs?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a fascinating thing to go through.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I'm, you know, I'm grateful that they found their, you know, their people and, you know, I'm, and again, they're, you know, they don't, dogs don't have that judgment. They just, it's not her fault that, you know, they were lost in the jungle. I mean, kudos to them for staying alive and surviving and making this, you know, the journey that they went on. And I think that's pretty incredible. And I mean, there was another article that I read, you know, a dog, they were on vacation. They live up in Alaska. They were on vacation in Alaska. They had two dogs with them. One got lost and they had to go back home. And the dog actually traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles. And he had a big bite on his leg, you know, who knows what, you know, they're saying a polar bear or a seal or something like that. And you know, he didn't quite make it home, but he was headed in that direction and, you know, ended up getting back home. And, you know, in the comments, you know, it was still mixed. Like, you know, glad that the dog made it home, but the poor thing and all that it's gone through, and you guys should have stayed to wait for him to come back home. He obviously loved you. Oh my God. You don't deserve the love of that dog. And it's like, you know, the dog's not thinking about that. And,
right.
And the dog just wanted to get home, and it's not the fault of this family that they couldn't stay in on their vacation until they, you know, found the dog. And
so it's
in our face of just being so judgmental when we should just help those dogs stay in their home because they love their people. It's not ours to judge, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And who's to say, I mean, yeah, they have a great home, these two. Like, they've got loving humans and... You know, they
food
are clearly,
and shelter.
She had food. Like, I brought them home. She had a bag of food.
Yeah.
They had actually a crate, you know, like a crate just like mine sitting out there, and little beds for them. And, you know, and she even said that she doesn't know what happened, that she thinks maybe someone took them off her property.
Mm-hmm. And that's a thing.
Because that is a thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, who knows what happened? Yeah. It's possible that these intact, unneutered males went for a little joy ride and got lost.
Yeah.
Or they got taken. But either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think that, you know, when we think about the rescue and we think about, you know, judging people for maybe a dog's behavior that you have rescued or, you know, the condition that a dog is in. And I think just having some empathy, and put yourself in maybe somebody else's shoes and help that way instead of being so judgmental with it, I think could go a long ways and could change the mentality and thought process of, you know, the rescue dog world of, and instead of, you know, getting fosters and gathering and, you know, holding all these dogs, is how can we shift the mindset of, hey, this dog has a family, can't afford the bail, can, you know, is there money in a fund for, you know, get out of jail free card kind of a thing, you know? Yeah. It just needs to change a little bit to help, everybody goes through some hard times. Everybody has had a chance, you know, everybody's lost a dog here and there in a lifetime. And, you know, you've rescued, I've rescued, and it just, you know, the dogs need a home, and we shouldn't be judgmental of what that home is for them other than keeping them in their homes.
Yep.
So I think it's a pretty cool story. And pretty cool to really just value how dogs are and how resilient they are, and that they will make it to the place that they need to make it to get where they need to go to, whatever that is and whatever that looks like, and we shouldn't be judging on the other side of that.
Indeed.
Thank you, everybody. And I hope this gives you a little bit different perspective on rescue dogs. And maybe, you know, look down the road when you see a dog running that, you know, it has a person and it wants to get back to that person. And judgment-free, we should all help that way and support. So I hope this podcast kind of gives you a little bit different outlook and maybe a different spin on rescue dogs and how we judge. The Dog Training 360 Way. It's not just online dog training videos. When you subscribe to our course subscription, you receive access to get coached twice a week by professional, well-educated dog trainers of 25 plus years. You also get to take part of a private Facebook community where you get private training content, grooming, and nutritional tips, and an amazing community of dog-loving people. You also receive access to all of our dog training courses. Join us today at www.dogtraining360.com.